And for those of you who don't recognize me, my hair is down.
Yes.
You can usually find me in jeans and a t-shirt with my hair up in the up high in a high bun because of my little one, Leo. I am married to Hart Rush. That is his real name, Hart Rush. I didn't believe it either. And I've been coming to Compass for about a year and a half. It seems longer though, in a good way, because I feel so that we belong here, and this is the home that we've always wanted. I'm very excited to share with you my testimony and God's faithfulness in my life. As you will see, despite my unfaithfulness and outright rebellion, I was born and raised in South Korea, born to a father who was more of a Buddhist background, and to a mother who was raised sort of Christian, but because of his influence, she wasn't attending church. It was like there was nothing evident in her life. Though I grew up lacking nothing, we were in upper middle class. We had drivers and cleaning ladies, and material-wise, we were very well off and comfortable. But my parents had a very rocky marriage that seeped into just anxiety, as well as my mom's health was up and down. So ever since I could remember, she was in the hospital at least once a year for months at a time. They had no idea what was going on. But this allowed me to wonder about what happens after death. And that perspective really came into me early on as a child. When I was in elementary school, and in the fear of just losing my mom and just going through all of that turmoil, we had a family friend who happened to be believers living right next door, and they invited me, and they wanted to take care of me because my dad was so busy with work that he couldn't really take care of my mom, and I was doing majority of that work with my brother, and so they wanted to really take care of me out of the great hospitality and love of Christ. And that's when I first was invited to church. And for miracle of God, my dad, who prevented my mom from going to church, was like, yeah, sure, you can go every Sunday. So that turned into going every Sunday, to coming on Wednesdays, and then going to Vacation Bible School, VBS coming up, in case maybe you guys didn't sign up or volunteer. We need help. So all of those things, I went from a person who didn't go to church or know God to being really plugged in and living my life at church and just learning about God. And that's when it really made sense to me that, oh yes, this makes sense. All the things that I was wondering about, all the things that I was anxious about and fearful of losing my mom and the life and death and what happens and what's the purpose in which we were created, it was all answered through those interactions, those messages, and those programs. And God helped me understand that we are created by Him and set aside for His glory and His purpose. One day in sixth grade, I was called in early from a field trip because my mom had a kidney failure and she had to go to the big hospital in the capital city of Korea. And though she was surrounded by top physicians in the top hospital in the country, they could not figure out what was wrong with her for 6 to 8 weeks. So she was in there for six to eight weeks, and they were telling us to prepare to say goodbye. And obviously, all the things that I had learned, though it was in my head, I still feared of losing my mom. And so I remember not wanting to cry in front of her because I had cried too much, obviously. So I ran down to the chapel in the bottom of that hospital. And for the first time that I can remember, I prayed to God directly of my own volition. And I asked Him sincerely, Lord, I know that You are real. Please help my mom, and then I will follow You and walk in Your ways more. And I went back upstairs, and my mom's hospital room was, my mom's hospital room was filled with physicians. And I honestly thought my mom had died because we were just that close. So I moseyed my way in, and And there was the chief of the hospital there saying, hey, I just heard about your mom's case, because it had escalated, obviously, up to that level where all the chiefs were called and they were meeting about her. And he said, I had just came back from California where there was a new disease that we talked about, rising disease, an autoimmune disease called lupus. And I believe her case fits, like, for the past however many, you know, for the past decade, all that she has gone through just fits this bill. And instead of her dying in 6 months, she came home and she is still alive today, and by his grace and mercy. And that's when I really knew that God, the Lord, our creator and triune God, was real and personal in seeking after me. And I would love to end the story here, like Julia, and say that I believed in the Lord and trusted my life to him then, but I really didn't. I was a good person. Yes, I still went to church and did all the things, and everyone, when people would ask, I would call myself Christian, but it really wasn't until high school. Like I said, I was in the honor roll. I did all the good things. I never got in trouble. That was really not my cup of tea. And when you have a tiger mom, that's not really an option. But it wasn't until I had to live with a family friend my junior year in high school that I really started questioning and really started diving into my faith. And this family, the Nelson family, they were a pastor's family, and though they had 7 children of their own, made room for me to live with them because my mom and dad were going through a very rough and rough divorce and fighting over custody. Even though I was getting older, they still were fighting over custody battles. So this was kind of the middle ground that I could still be attending school in America, but just not with my mom. But that ended up being such a gift and grace of God, because like I said, this family happened to be a pastor's family of all. And this pastor wasn't just a preaching pastor, not that just a preaching pastor doesn't exist, but he was an apologist. And so he would actively go to college campuses multiple times a week, and he would come back with those stories and tell us, oh, this person had a question here. Oh, this person had this question, and this was the answer for why creation is real and not evolution, and all these things. And it's during this time that I really just sat down to question, okay, what do I believe? Do I really believe in Christ? And the summer before my senior year, about 3 months after living with them, we went to a summer camp, sort of like the revival that we have here. And it is there that I realized that I was being good and working on all those things because I wanted to earn that grace. I was striving for grace, not out of grace. And I remember distinctly running to Pastor Nelson, one night during that summer camp, and telling him, I have committed my life to Christ, and I want to surrender and live my life in glory to him. And though on the external, nothing really changed, I was still doing all the things that I was doing, my heart posture and how I was living truly transformed that day. And the Spirit was in me and living in me, and I was no longer striving for grace, but out of grace. And for the next 7-8 years, my faith deepened. Similar to Julia's story, when I went to college, I made a point to make sure to surround myself with strong believers. I was known as the Jesus girl on my floor in the dormitory at a very secular Big Ten school that I went to. And by the grace and mercy of God, he provided me with such a good community of believers that surrounded me and helped me deepen my faith and really make it my own and survive the test of a secular college, which can be brutal with professors and a lot of classmates who do not believe and will test your faith. And even though those years were not perfect, and I still faced many trials between my grandfather, who was the only grandfather that I knew, having passed away, and not being able to go to his funeral because of my visa issues and everything, Jesus was my rock, and he was the one that I clung to. And I honestly thought that after those years, that I was in such a good rhythm that couldn't be shaken. And in case you missed that, that is pride kicking in, and my self-righteousness kicking in. I was in second year of grad school with a full class load, which is 45 credits, two internships, and I slowly began to switch my priorities. So instead of, at first it was a missed Sunday, and then two, and then it was a missed Bible study here and there, and then not being able to serve because I was too busy and operating on 3 hours of sleep, and then so on. So then the big event happened. My dad, who is my stepdad, I call him my stepdad. He's my dad, but he is my stepdad, who was really the only father that was really a father to me, came back from an international trip on an emergency airplane because he was rushed into the ER. Turned out that he had a stage 4B colon cancer, which is a cancerous cell in your body that ruptures. So then it is all over your intestines. And so he ended up being in the ICU for 8 weeks, having 6 surgeries with his stomach wide open during that whole time. And instead of using that opportunity, and I knew that this was God saying, hey, like, come back. But instead of running to Jesus, I chose to be angry instead and be consumed in my anger. And I said, you know what, this hurts and I'm going to hurt you back. Which sounds very foolish, and I definitely don't recommend it. but that was the decision I made, and I decided to grieve the Holy Spirit and just be consumed in my anger, in my pride, and in my self-righteousness, and I told the Lord, I'm going to take the reins. I'm going to be angry at you, and no matter what, this is just what I'm going to do, and I'll come back later. And after the partying and the sexual immorality and a very physically and emotionally abusive relationship, eventually that turned into idolizing my career and material things. By the world's standards, I was doing really well. I was an executive by age 30, had a house, cars, all the fun things, all the pretty things that I still like and struggle to give up in some ways. Yet every day felt like a burden. I knew I was going down the wrong path. And I had so many opportunities, ladies, to turn back. I had opportunities to go to church, to come to events like this, to open my Bible that was still sitting on my desk. That I had carried ever since I was in high school. But I would always, whenever I felt that conviction in my heart, I would always tell the Lord, not yet, a little bit more, and a little bit more. Then one day, Hart, who is now my husband and my fiance at the time, tells me that he's going on a truth-seeking journey. And I looked at him like, cool. I don't know what that means, and it turned out it was exploring every major religion and just trying to find out what the truth was. And I had no idea where this would eventually lead, but God clearly did, because he had answered my prayers from back in high school and college in the most unimaginable but a beautiful way. I don't want to spoil his story, so I highly encourage you to chase him down and ask for his testimony. And I know that he would love to share with you. But in short, that journey led him to sit me down one evening when I came home from work to say, Jesus is real. And I trust him, and he is my Lord and Savior today. And I was shocked and stunned, to say the least, because, mind you, this was the man who threw away my Bible and the journals that I had kept all those years when we first got together and moved in. So this was not normal for him to say, oh, I love Jesus. Like, he was very anti-Christian. So I knew in my heart that day that this was an answered prayer. And this was that the Lord saying again, come. Me being stubborn still, it took a month or so after. But every day I drove into work, I would pray to God and say, help me understand. Help me what this means. Help me how. How do I get back? How will you ever forgive me for being so stubborn? But we went to a wedding in September 2019. And I was sobbing at that wedding, not because of the beautiful couple — they were a beautiful couple and great ceremony — but because they had read 1 Corinthians 13, and I was overwhelmed by the love of Christ. I was overwhelmed by his love, his faithfulness in the face of my unfaithfulness, and I just couldn't grieve the Holy Spirit any longer. I decided that day and that night that I was going to stop it all, that I was going to stop living life for my own and continue to grieve the Holy Spirit. So you see, even when I was unfaithful, God was faithful. And when I had decided to grieve him and run from him and to just run away and to hurt him, I was still in his hands and in the palm of his hands. He remembered and gave me a man who not only loves Jesus, but an evangelist. You know how Pastor PJ always talks about that evangelist person that talks to even the cardboard because just in case it has a soul? That's heart. He's talking about heart. Every Uber ride, every coffee run, he is always talking about Jesus. And so God answered my prayer in the most faithful and loving way that I could ever imagine. And I stand here today being able to share with you that I am so happy to be living in the life that he has created for me instead of living the life that I had designed for myself. The plans that I gave up, the career, the pretty things, and all the comforts that this world provides is nothing compared to what God has created in our lives. And I'm so glad that I surrendered to his plans. In closing, I want to speak to you ladies who are here. So if you are here today and you are not sure if you're saved, like I wasn't the summer before my senior year, and you are questioning, please don't leave here without talking to someone, whether it be to me or Amanda or the person that invited you. Talk to them. They want to talk to you about those things. If you are sitting here today, sister, and you are struggling with sin and living in a life, a pattern of sin, can I encourage you to be vulnerable? Talk to someone. I wish I had. I had people who my college friends that I loved, who loved the Lord, who I still spoke to during that time of struggling with that sin and living in that downward spiral of sin. I wish I had talked to them and been vulnerable with them to say, hey, I need help. Help me to get out of this. I don't know how. This is the last thing I wanted to do today. Even this morning I texted Amanda, I was like, did I really say I was gonna do it? Because I changed my mind. It's not easy being up here to be vulnerable. I'm naturally an introvert, believe it or not, but the Lord does amazing things and for his glory, and he will change your heart and open your heart. So talk to someone, please. And last but not least, to my fellow sisters who may have a family member, a child who do not believe, or who may be struggling and in the pattern of sin, who may be in rebellion, I encourage you to pray for them. I had all of my friends from college and the Nelson family praying for me every week that I was in that life of sin, that I was grieving the Holy Spirit. They would call me out. I didn't like that, but they did. I encourage you to pray for them, to check in on them, because that truth does ring. The Spirit will convict. And even if they say no that time, like me, they say they're being stubborn and say not yet, you never know the work that it's doing in their hearts. I pray that you are reminded of the Almighty God that we serve, who is very faithful, and that there's nothing that the redeeming blood of Christ can't overcome. And I pray for all of us that this Psalm 73, 21 to 26 will ring true. When my soul was embittered, when I was pricked in my heart, I was brutish and ignorant. I was like a beast toward you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Thank you.